So this next one, the third one here, says that libertarian free will undermines the doctrine of depravity. Mm-hmm. Wow. Right. So he says the consistent testimony of Scripture is that we are morally corrupted and enslaved to sin. Our wills are in spiritual bondage to evil. That's what the Scriptures teach. Right. He reminds us that Calvinism calls this problem total depravity, right? That's the T in the, you know, in the tulip, right?
Yes.
he says every aspect of the unregenerate person is corrupt. Our minds, our wills, our emotions, our desires, our motivations, and so on. in John 8:34, Jesus tells us everyone who practices sin is a slave to sin. And Romans 3:21, of course, says that since all humans have sin, all are slaves to sin. Right.
Yep. Our will is made in bondage to sin. And let's put the caveat in it now. Total depravity isn't absolute depravity. It's not we can be as bad as we could possibly be. It's just that anything that we desire to have to be good is enslaved to sin. And when we do good things, we're doing it contrary to our nature. So, there's a good point to be made in there. Only the doctrine of irresistible and efficacious grace, irresistible grace in the eye and tulip, is sufficient to overcome the bondage of the will and enable it to please God as part of the divine work of redemption. So this is the idea that we're haters of God, we're a slave to sin, we love our father the devil, when we talk lies, we're talking just like our father does, and God has to come along and speak to our heart, give us faith, renew our heart, remove the heart of stone, come the heart of flesh.
A rebirth, right?
And therefore we are born again in Christ, and so that's what that is. And so I'm unable to not go towards that grace because it is so good, it's so different, and God changes all the things about me that would reject him, that I don't have anything to boast on. So the Armenian response to the problem of original sin or total depravity by introducing the doctrine of prevenient grace here. Yeah.
So he says this common, not universal, Armenian doctrine of universal prevenient grace means that because of Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit, no human being is actually in a state of absolute darkness and depravity. Thus, prevenient grace supposedly mitigates the effects of moral depravity and restores libertarian freedom and free will in the sinner.
Right.
God supplies, right, further effuses of grace before conversion. So he gives, just squirts in a little grace here and there, right? So he says a sinner may avail himself to this extra grace if he so chooses, but he can equally reject it as well, right? So in other words, no grace of God is wholly effective or sufficient for salvation because it's ultimately dependent on the choice of the sinner,
right? So it gives us our choice back. Whew, okay, good. But this eviscerates the biblical doctrine of grace enshrined in the Reformation principles of grace alone, sola gratia. It leaves salvation ultimately in the hands of the sinner, giving him room to boast. Ephesians 2, 8, 9, and 10. Let's not forget 10. 10 is very important. for by grace you were saved, not through works that anyone should boast. It's a free gift of God. But if I have the ability to choose or not choose, then why don't I have the ability to boast? It seems like I do. I was a little more sensitive. God gave me a little prevenient grace, and you know what? I sucked it up. I was like a dying man reaching out for water, and I found that little bit of water. Unfortunately, you just didn't want it as much as I did. I wanted it more. That's therefore, right.
I worked harder.
Yeah,
for it.
I was more. I don't know. Whatever it might be, sensitive or I made better choices than you. Whatever it is, I'm glad I'm not like you, a sinner. I'm a redeemed sinner, so that's
fine. That's right. And I had something to do with it.
But again, this is contrary to the testimony of Scripture. If two sinners are equally recipients of saving grace and one rejects it, disbelieving the gospel, while the other accepts it and believes, what distinguishes the two responses? It has to be something worth boasting about, right?
Yeah.
No matter how you cut it, you must conclude that one who cooperated with grace, using his free will to believe, must have been a better, smarter, more righteous person, whatever it might be. There must be something that distinguishes that person in some way. I had a better education, so I knew what God was really trying to say to me there with that little bit of grace. So unless salvation is all of grace, means it's all given to us, we don't have anything to do with it, we invite room for boasting in our personal contribution, and this smacks of works righteousness. It seems like you do have the ability to boast in some fashion.
Right. Yeah. And so that's a problem. Right? That's a problem for this particular
because
position.
It exactly goes against scripture here. It, you know, sometimes you know we talked about that his first point of there's no biblical basis for libertarian free will. Sometimes a lot of what libertarian free will does, it assumes the argument and then says, you know, here's where we see it, rather than making the case for it in scripture. And here it seems to be just going against scripture. So it seems like there is room to boast, and it's the explicit opposite of what we're told about in scripture. Right.